Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet together this morning and celebrate the risen Lord Jesus. Please help us as we think about these words that we have just read, this account of what happened that very first Easter Sunday morning. Speak to us and be at work amongst us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If we could have our first slide up, please, that would be great. Can anyone tell me who this is? Who this is up on the screen? Tom, you had your hand up first. Who's that? That's close, Tom, but not right. Ah. Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah, who's that? It's Mummy Pig. That's right, it's Peppa Pig's mum. So close, Tom. Well, we've been thinking about surprises, haven't we, this morning? James had a surprise breakfast. And something really surprising happened to us when we went on holiday one Easter a couple of years ago. We were away with family. And on the second day of the holiday, we discovered that the house we were staying in belonged to the lady who voices Mummy Pig. And so I think I can legitimately say I've stayed in Mummy Pig's holiday home. That was a bit of a surprise. It was a surprising discovery when we worked it out. But there's an even bigger surprise, isn't there, on the first Easter Sunday, and a much more important surprise. And I think in those verses we've read, actually we see three surprises. We're going to look at the three surprises. We're going to look at two of them, and then we're going to sing, and then we're going to come back to the last one. So firstly, there is a surprising discovery. The women who went to Jesus' tomb made a surprising discovery that first Easter Sunday morning. The morning didn't go as they had expected it would. Jesus died on the Friday, on Good Friday. The Romans executed him. They killed him on the cross. And the Romans, they really knew how to kill someone. They were experts. Jesus had died. And so the women on the Easter Sunday, as they walked towards the tomb, they were expecting Jesus' body in the tomb. They were expecting to find a dead body in the tomb. And that's why they brought sweet-smelling spices. But they make a surprising discovery, don't they, when they arrive. The tomb was empty. There's nothing there, just the strips of linen on the ground. Jesus is nowhere to be seen. What's going on? And just as they're wondering about what's going on, suddenly next to them there are two gleaming figures. Two men arrived in clothes that gleamed like lightning. Now, if you found a washing powder that can make your clothes shine like lightning, you better come and tell me, because I'm not sure ours does it. Here we are, two men whose clothes gleamed like lightning. They're angels, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yes. Good. Oh, fantastic. Some colouring in. Brilliant. So here we are, two men with clothes gleaming like lightning. They're angels. No wonder the women fall to their knees and bow down. They're in shock. And nothing that morning has happened quite the way they expected it. And it's the angels who explain what's going on with this surprising discovery, isn't it? And they come with a surprising explanation, which is our second point. It's a surprising explanation, and it's a wonderful explanation. Verses 5 and 6 in our reading, the angels say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Why do you look for the living among the dead, he's not here, he is risen. They're incredible words, aren't they? They're life-changing words. They're surprising words. Words which change everything. And just like the people in the safari jeep or whatever it is they're doing with their cameras pointed in the wrong direction, the women at the tomb, they're looking in the wrong place for Jesus, aren't they? That's the message. That's the surprising explanation. You're looking in the wrong direction, in the wrong place. And it's surprising because it flies in the face of everything that they know to be true. They've seen their Lord killed and brought down dead from the cross and put in the tomb. And they know, just like we know, that dead people don't come back to life. And so it's a surprise to the women, isn't it? But as the women are surprised, so I think the angels are surprised that they have to explain what's going on. They remind Jesus, they remind the women of Jesus' words to them. Why is it that you would look for Jesus in a place where dead people are buried? Remember how he told you, they said, in that reading that James read for us earlier. Remember how they told you, the Son of Man, that is Jesus, must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Jesus had told them that he wouldn't stay dead. He told them that he'd rise from the dead on the third day. So why on earth have they come to put spices on a dead body? Somehow they hadn't grasped the enormity of what Jesus had said. They hadn't understood it. A couple of years ago, before Easter, we decided in our church to go and do a bit of a survey in the local area. We were a bit nervous, but we went out with our clipboards and we knocked on some doors and we asked people a number of different questions. But one of them was, what do you make of the person of Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? Do you think he was a good moral teacher? Do you think he was a revolutionary, a political revolutionary? Do you think he was the Son of God? Or do you think he was a liar? Where do you put Jesus? And we got a range of different answers as we knocked on doors, and some people did want to talk to us. But I think the answer we got most was good moral teacher. But I think actually the angels show us here that there really can only be two answers to that question. Because Jesus said in that reading we had first of all that James read, that he would die and then rise again. And so Jesus is either a liar because he said that and didn't rise again, or Jesus really is who he said he was and he is the Son of God because he said those words and remarkably he rose again on Easter Sunday. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we'd have to conclude that he was a liar. But if he did, then those three words, "he has risen," are the most wonderful three words in all of history, aren't they? He has risen. The women remembered Jesus' words, and we're not told exactly what they're thinking as they remember Jesus' words, but I think they're beginning to put their surprising discovery and the surprising explanation, and they're beginning to bring them together and understand what's going on. Has Jesus risen? Has he really? Wow. And they rush off to tell the disciples. They rush off to tell the 11. It's just 11 now because Judas is no more. What will they make of it all when they hear the news? What will they say? Well, we'll have a think about that in a moment. But we're going to sing again before we do. He is not here. He has risen, said the angels. And so our third surprise this morning in Luke 24 is a surprising response. A surprising response. Can you picture the scene as the women run back from the tomb and they find the disciples? You can imagine the excitement. You won't believe what's happened to us. Gee, we went to the tomb to take spices and the stone was rolled away, and we went inside and Jesus wasn't there, and suddenly next to us there were these angels, and oh, it was amazing. And they said that we were looking in the wrong place, and they said that Jesus has risen. They said that Jesus is alive. But the disciples' response, they didn't believe them, did they? Not yet anyway. These were men who spent the last 3 years with Jesus. They'd seen Jesus say some remarkable things. They'd seen him do some amazing things. They'd put all their hope in Jesus. They'd given up everything to follow him. They believed he really was the Son of God, the promised Messiah. But just 2 days ago, they'd seen him hung up on a cross and killed. And maybe Eeyore's words were what they were thinking right then. I knew it was too good to be true. And we read that the women's words seemed like nonsense to them. Given all that the disciples had seen and done with Jesus, I think it's a surprising response, isn't it? It's a surprising response, but it's one that I think we can understand. They're not easily persuaded that Jesus is risen, that Jesus is alive again. They know that dead bodies don't come back to life. Feels like a pretty real response, doesn't it? And yet later, those same disciples who said nonsense when they first heard the news, they would go on and tell people, spend the rest of their lives telling people that Jesus has risen from the dead, that they'd seen him, that they'd spoken with him, that they'd touched him. Some of them would even go on to be killed proclaiming that Jesus had risen from the dead. They wouldn't stop saying it. And so if these men here who seem so reluctant in our reading this morning to believe that Jesus really had done what he said he would do, if they turned into the men that we see later on in the Bible, were so insistent that Jesus had risen from the dead, I think that helps us to see that he really must have risen. That we really do have reason to celebrate and give thanks this morning. Their surprising response here helps us to see that it really is true. Peter, it seems, is the first one to investigate. He got up, we read, and he ran to the tomb as fast as his legs would carry him. And he saw the empty tomb and the strips of linen lying by themselves, and we read, he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. I think at this point in the Easter story, we're in a pretty similar position, aren't we, to the women and to Peter that first Easter Sunday. We are given the message that Jesus rose from the dead, but we haven't seen Jesus, just like they hadn't seen Jesus. What will our response be? What's your response to the claims of Easter? The disciples took some convincing, but once they saw, they were so convinced that they told everyone the good news. The angels told the women that if they wanted to understand what had gone on that first Easter Sunday, what did they need to do? They needed to remember Jesus' words. That's what we need to do too, isn't it? We need to remember Jesus' words if we want to understand just what's going on here. What's so significant about Jesus rising from the dead? What do Jesus' words say in the Bible? Well, Jesus said earlier on in John's Gospel, he said, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not die, but have eternal life." Whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. If Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, then he'd just be some guy in ancient history who said some crazy stuff, and he'd be forgotten, wouldn't he? But if he did rise from the dead, then it proves that everything he said can be trusted, that everything he said is true, that we can base our lives on everything that Jesus says. And the wonderful news of Easter is that Jesus, as he died on the cross, died in our place. He died for all the wrong things we ever do or say or think, and took the punishment in our place. And he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, that we can be forgiven for all of that and made clean, and that we can be friends with God, and that we can know the great hope of being with God forever in heaven, of eternal life, that death is not the end. Maybe you think it's surprising that today, on Easter Sunday, there are billions of people around the world celebrating those events from 2,000 years ago. Maybe you think that's surprising. But then if Jesus really did rise from the dead, and we can trust everything that he said, then it's no surprise at all, is it? We have wonderful good news this Easter Sunday. He is not here. He has risen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of Easter. We thank you for the surprise of all that happened on that first Easter Sunday.